All right, tonight I've got a special sermon that I've been sitting on for a long time. Just seemed like the time wasn't right yet to preach it, but now apparently the time has come, and it's about the remnant of Israel. I hope that every time you see Israel mentioned in the newspaper, you read whatever article it is, because all eyes should be on that nation, because God is working through them. The United States, not in the Bible, doesn't talk about us, not going to talk about who's going to win the election in November, doesn't talk about what's going to happen to our economy or anything like that. We're still in the dark. We're stumbling around in the dark insofar as that's concerned. But God has given us an awful lot of information about what's going to happen in that nation Israel over there. God chose that nation in Abraham many, many years ago, and they are still God's chosen people. And I've got a text in Romans chapter 9, verse 27, that I want to talk to you about tonight, about the remnant of Israel. You read about the remnant, I think all of us know what remnants are. It's what's left. If you are a lady and you're making something, you're following a pattern and you're cutting out material and sewing pieces of cloth together, making something, the scraps that you have left over is called the remnant. The remnant. And God has a remnant. And that remnant is Israel. In verse 27, look at these words here, and we're going to expound on them. In the Bible, that's Esaias, but we know it is Isaiah. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. Here's what he's crying. By the way, this comes from Isaiah chapter 10, verses 20, 21, and 22 that we'll be reading after a while. Paul, who's the author of Romans, is referring to this, and he's quoting Isaiah, the prophet, and what he said. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Now, there are probably, according to the guesstimates, about 12 million Jews in the world today. 12 million. Compared with other nations' population, that's really not too many, is it? But he talks about, though they be as the sand of the sea for multitude, he says, a remnant shall be saved. Just a remnant shall be saved. In the context of Isaiah 10, if you were to go back over there and begin to read, and we're not taking it, and Paul was not taking it out of context. He knew what the scripture said and who it was said about. But he's saying it over here a long time after what Isaiah was talking about had already come to pass. He's referring to the fall of the nation of Israel into the hands of Sargon, the king of Assyria, way back in 721 B.C., that's 721 years before Christ. So that's a long time ago from us now. And he's also, in the context, talking about the overthrow and the punishment of the Assyrians by Nabopolassar, who was at that time the ruler of Babylon, ruling the Chaldees. And And he's talking about an event that will take place 115 years later. See, God doesn't do things tomorrow or next week. He's got all the time in the world to carry out his plan and purpose. And he waited 115 years before that came to pass in 606 B.C. Now, like I said, we'll read Isaiah 10 a little bit later. But you know, when I read these things, I think it is most wonderful that God has revealed to us in his word not only an accurate historical record of the past, but he's given us a reliable guide to future events concerning his people. Now, we're all familiar with the return of the Jews to Israel after the establishment of Israel as a nation again right after World War II on May the 14th of 1948. The Jews had been a people without a country for 1,878 years. Ever since Jerusalem had been overthrown by Titus, the Roman who came with the armies of Rome in 70 AD and took over the land and destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem. I looked it up, and the best information I could find about Israel's population today, and this is just background information that I'm giving you. They say there are, this was in 2010, 7,353,985. That was the population, the entire population of Israel, the nation. And they say that 75% of those are Jews. 25% are others. So 75% means that there were about 5.65 million Jews in Israel. Now that's not too many compared to the millions of Arabs that are in all the nations that are surrounding Israel, is it? They are outnumbered umpteen to one, I'll tell you. Now, we're also acquainted with the hostility of the neighboring Arab peoples against the Jews and the threat of annihilation that has gone forth, and that threat hangs over Israel like a dark cloud. Now, according to the prophetic scriptures that I'm familiar with, the time is going to come when a person, we identify him as Antichrist, will rise, and when he comes, he will make a peace covenant with Israel. And after 3.5 years, he will break that covenant that he's made, and many of the people who live in Israel today, or at that time, will have to flee for their lives, as what's called in the Bible the day of Jacob's trouble breaks upon them. So the long range and final fulfillment of this prophecy will come to pass when Israel, during that 7-year tribulation period, will be severely punished and persecuted by the Antichrist. In fact, the Bible tells us that 2/3 of all the Israelites will be killed during that time. 2/3. Of course, Antichrist will in turn be defeated by Jesus when he returns at the dramatic conclusion of that tribulation period. That's when he returns in the clouds of glory that we read about in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16, if you're taking notes. And at that time, he establishes what we call the millennial kingdom here on the earth, during which time he will rule and reign over all the nations of the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll be ruling from Jerusalem. That'll be his capital city. And he'll rule for 1,000 years. And you and I, get this, you and I in our glorified bodies will be ruling and reigning with him during that time. Amen. We're not left out. We will be here. And so this prophecy applies to us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, over in Matthew chapter 24, I hope you remember that, especially verses 15 through 22. Jesus tells us of all of the calamities that will befall the Jews during that time. That's when he talks about two women grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, the other left, and somebody else is out in the field, and if you're out there working and don't come back to the house to get a change of clothes, you just take off for the high country and don't look back. It's a general accepted fact that the remnant of the Jews, and we're talking about the remnant tonight, the remnant of the Jews during that time of persecution will flee into the wilderness to a place called Petra. Petra is over on the eastern side of the Jordan River in what is today the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. And there they will find refuge. They will be protected by the Lord. They'll be preserved from the judgments that come against the enemies of God from the Lord. And this sheltered remnant of Jews, hiding out, if you please, in Petra, will not necessarily consist of believers in Jesus Christ. This is not a persecution of believers, it's a persecution of Jews. Now, these will be the ones who will see the Lord Jesus when he returns, as described in Zechariah, the 14th and the 12th, 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters. And that's when Jesus comes again and his feet stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, and it splits open in the middle. And they will see him then. And they will become believers in him at that time. Now, let's look at this remnant and study that for a while. The word remnant is found translated in your King James Bible some 92 times. Now, all 92 of those times does not refer to Israel. Only 6 times out of 92 do you find the word remnant used in the New Testament. That's strange. Paul said in Romans 11:5, and he's speaking now about, say, the middle of the first century A.D., when he wrote the book of Romans. He said, even so then, at this present time, at this present time, you see, Jerusalem had not even been destroyed then by Titus. That was before that. He said, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I believe in election, and I believe it's by grace. According to the election of grace, there is a remnant, Paul says, at this particular time. That means that through the centuries, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have not been entirely eliminated, and they will not be entirely eliminated. There will be a remnant left of Israel. Now the prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah and Jeremiah in particular, they wrote an awful lot about the remnant of Israel. Isaiah mentions them 15 times, and Jeremiah talks about them 19 times. And many of those references, if you recall when Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied, many of those references were to the return of the Jews from the 70-year Babylonian captivity, because there was a remnant of Israel that returned to their land after the Babylonian captivity. Many, many of them stayed where they were. They'd been down there 70 years. Some of the old ones, they had nothing to go back to. That land had been lying waste and barren during all this time, and they didn't have the pioneering spirit, many of them, to go back to this barren, desolate land and start rebuilding the cities and the fields and cutting down the trees that had grown up in the middle of the fields and things like that. And there weren't that many that went. There was a remnant that returned, and they were the survivors of that 70-year Babylonian captivity. There are several times, though, that Isaiah and Jeremiah, both of them, referred to the Israelites in the last days, which are still yet to come. Isaiah 10, verses 20 through 22, show us this. And now, if you have your Bibles open there, let's look at that scripture. In Isaiah 10. And it shall come to pass, God says. Now when God says shall, he means that that's going to happen. All hell can't stop it. It shall come to pass. Why? In that last day. So we're not talking about something that's going to happen, that's already happened. We're talking about something that is yet to come, because we haven't reached that last day yet that we know of. In the last day, that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more stay upon him that smote them. Now that word stay there means to trust or depend upon. You see, they've been used to trusting what the Antichrist said, and he's been ruling over them, so to speak, and he's calling the shots. But there's coming a time when they're going to rebel against him, and they're not going to be obedient to him anymore. They shall no more stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord. They're going to depend upon God. They're going to trust in God, not in the Antichrist. They shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. That sounds like revival, doesn't it? They're going to return to the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. And if you'll notice in the context of that, he's not talking about a return to the land. He's talking about a return to the faith of their fathers. He's talking about a return to faith in the God of Israel. They'll come back to God. In the next chapter, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, he says, and it shall come to pass in that day, he's still talking about that last day, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. The second time. That means that there's already been a first, right? Because this is a second time to what? To recover the remnant of the people which shall be left. Now, where's he going to get them from? I want you to look here in the scriptures. Where have they been scattered that they're going to be returned this second time? From Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Now let's try to locate these geographically and find out where they are, because these are the countries that the Jews have fled to escape the persecution of the Antichrist. And now God is going to bring them back. This is the second return to their land. First, he talks about Assyria. Now, where is Assyria? We know ancient Assyria. So you look back to the territory that the country, the peoples of Assyria had rule over today, and you'll find that that is modern day Syria and a part of southeast Turkey. Now you know the Turks at the present time are anti-Israel. They've got a conflict there. Assyria. And then we know Egypt, don't we? This past week, we've seen all the rioting over there as they're trying to try their ex-president and elect a new leadership and all of this. And if you'll notice that there are a group of people who have spent an awful lot of time in the back rooms of the White House with our president from that area, and they are known as the Muslim Brotherhood. And you watch and see who comes out on top in this presidential election over there in Egypt. But many of the Jews will flee to Egypt to escape the persecution of the Antichrist. Pathros? Where's Pathros? I had to look these up. I didn't know. Pathros is the name given to Upper Egypt, near Thebes. You know about where that is. You were over there a couple of years, weren't you, John? Yeah. That's Pathros, P-A-T-H-R-O-S. And then the other is Cush. Cush is also another area of Egypt, down around the around South Sudan, those peoples. And there's Elam. Elam is west and southwest of modern-day Iran. A little country is over there. I'd never heard of it before. There's a lot of countries I'm not familiar with. It's called K-H-U-Z-E-S-T-A-N. Khuzestan. I guess that's the way. I wouldn't know it. If I woke up in the middle of it, I wouldn't know where I was. But that's where there's going to be a bunch of Jews hiding out from the Antichrist. Shinar. We've heard of the land of Shinar. That's down around Babylon in the country that we know today as Iraq. Hamath is an area in Upper Syria on the northern boundary of Israel. And this refers to the return of those who have left Israel because of the persecution of the Antichrist and have sought refuge in these other neighboring countries. Now I want to read you some scriptures here. Since we're in Isaiah 11, look at verse 16. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people. A highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And that refers to Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt a long time ago. And God is going to bring them out of Assyria just like he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Isaiah 11:16. In the 37th chapter of Isaiah, look at verses 31 and 32. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah, this is after their return, shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. In other words, God is going to see that he brings this to pass. Now let's go over to Jeremiah. In chapter 23 and verse 3. Jeremiah 23, verse 3. This is God speaking. I will gather the remnant of my flock. You see, God looks upon his people as sheep. In some instances, he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And the Lord is still looking upon his people as his flock. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their fold. Now, fold is the shelter, the corral, if you please, where the sheep are kept at night. A fenced-in area where they are protected from the wolves and bears and anything else that would attack God's flock. He said, I will gather the flock where I've driven them. I'll bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. In the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, verse 7. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. And it goes right back to our text over in Romans, what Paul said over there about that remnant that's going to be saved. Jeremiah 31, verse 7. Now, let's go to the book of Micah. In Micah chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he talks about the remnant of Israel, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people. The remnant of Israel is going to be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord. Dew is the wet stuff that's out there on the grass of a morning, isn't it? Yeah. That sounds like that remnant is going to be a blessing as the dew from heaven, from the Lord. As the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people. Picture this now. The remnant is going to be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest. Now, when we think about the lion, we think of, well, he's called the king of beasts, isn't he? Everybody's afraid of the lion. And that's going to be the remnant of Israel in the midst of the Gentiles as a lion. And then he goes on to say, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep. Wow. A young lion in the midst of a flock of sheep? Can you picture that? Yes, sir. All right, let's go to the fifth chapter of Micah. Verse 3. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. In Micah chapter 7, verse 18, I like this one. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? That's grace, isn't it? That pardons iniquity. And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He's talking about the remnant of his heritage. Now go over to Zechariah, the 8th chapter of Zechariah, beginning in verse 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? He says, you think that's great. He says, I think it's great too. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Isn't that something? God brings them in here. He says, they're my people and I'm their God in truth and righteousness. And then in Zechariah chapter 8, down in verse 12, for the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be good for the farmers in those days. The ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. God has a remnant, and they shall possess all these things. So there's some mighty good things that God has in store for the remnant. And that's what the Bible teaches about the remnant of Israel. Most of this is yet to come. But I'll tell you something. When Jesus comes, he's going to divide that nation up. He's going to give them the full extent of their inheritance according to Abraham's covenant. And he's going to divide that land up into 12 parcels. And he's going to name each parcel after one of the 12 tribes. And he's going to set one of his 12 apostles over those 12 parcels who are named after the 12 sons of Jacob. Now, they're all dead. That means God's got to perform a miracle. He's going to raise them from the dead. But you know what? They're not really dead, because Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Their bodies died. But you know what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And they've been with Jesus all of this time, and they're coming back with him, and they shall rule and reign in a glorified body over those 12 tribes. And God's going to resurrect David from the grave, and he's going to set David on the throne over all of Israel. And Jesus is going to be there also in Jerusalem, and his authority will reach from the river to the ends of the earth. He shall rule the whole world, all the nations of the world, in righteousness from his throne in Jerusalem as King of kings and Lord of lords. Man, aren't you glad that God's told us these things in His Word? I'm not up here tonight just making up these things. I'm not here just telling you a story. I'm giving you what God has given us. And we've got the witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that says, these things are true. These things are true. God is great. He's in charge. And we are His children. Thank you for listening tonight. Remember, Wednesday night, our Bible study at 6 o'clock. Come out, be with us again. We're going to be dismissed now in prayer. And do we have any special prayer requests tonight? Yes. Wait just a minute, John. I got Fran back here. Amen. Foot surgery for Fran Friday. You can remember that. Foot, F, foot, for Fran, F, Friday, F. The three F's. Foot, we can remember that. Have you got a good doctor?
Yeah.
Wonderful. This is not the first time he's ever done this.
No.
All right. Or she, whoever it is. All right, Fran, you'll be on our prayer list.
I have a special unspoken request. I have a situation that I'm not quite sure how to handle it, but I need God's guidance.
All right. All right. An unspoken request there from Connie. Yes.
Keep my family fairly clean, white, and clean in Christ.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. I'll say. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's remember to pray for her and that family there and their housing situation. And now, John, yes.
I've got a report from John Lightbody and his wife, Esther. The former wife of Pastor Roberts.
Yes.
Is not doing too good. She's not very well. So we should put her up below half of
it. All right. Let's do that. Here not long ago, I was over at the Gideon's banquet that they gave in appreciation for pastors, pastor appreciation banquet. And he was supposed to have been there, and I didn't get to see him. I missed John. And I was going to ask about Esther. She is on our prayer list here in that. So remember to pray for her.
I want you to pray for my wife this coming week because she's going to be alone and lonely. I'm going to be in Denver, Montana. Tuesday.
Always. Tuesday for a week. When are you coming back?
The following Monday.
The following Monday.
I'm going to miss your anniversary, which I don't like.
We'll have to have another one. All right. Pray for journeying mercies then for Brother Bryant as he flies all the way up to Montana. Where are you going to land up there?
Billings.
Billings, Montana. All right. Cold. It's going to be summertime up there.
80 degrees tomorrow.
80 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah.
He can't take a fishing pole on the plane, but he can take some fish hooks, I guess.
Brother's got fishing poles.
Oh, he's got some. All right. Good. Happy fishing. And tell us about your brother, like you told me. Tell everybody about him. We need to pray for him, too.
Brother is probably 7 years younger than me. He has had colon cancer removed. appendix burst and poison all through his body. He's had chronic back problems. He has now a pacemaker. He's had a stroke, and he has slow speech, but mentally he's all right. It's been 2 years since I've seen him. But I'll tell you what, this man loves the Lord and serves.
Amen.
He is a soul winner, and he tells everybody that Jesus loves him.
Amen. Amen. All right. So keep this brother in prayer too. All right. It's good to be here tonight. I enjoy fellowshipping with God's people. That's what's going to make heaven so pleasant. We won't have to go home before it gets dark or anything like that. Remember the services that's coming Wednesday night, our Bible study. And Brother Raul, will you lead us in our prayer tonight?